Welcome to the Pensacola Expert Panel with Jenna Barr. This show is presented by Dr. Ben McMillan of the Neal Clinic, who's responsible for information and opinions expressed during the show.
Wow! I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for joining me this week for the Neal Clinic Spine Line. My name is Dr. Ben McMillan, and I'm a chiropractor and the owner of the Neal Clinic Chiropractic Healthcare Center. Last week's show was all about spring cleaning, and I went over a few examples of how to avoid injuring your back as you start to tackle those outdoor projects you've been putting off all winter. And I'll tell you, that show really hit the mark for some of our patients. It really seemed that about half of the new patients last week that came into the clinic had some sort of injury that was related to them working in the yard over the weekend. But you know what? I did have a few patients that are regular listeners, and they tried one or two of the recommendations, and guess what? It helped keep them from really overdoing it in their yard over the weekend. So for today's show, I want to give you some auto insurance advice. No, I'm not starting a new career selling insurance or anything. I just see what happens when things go badly. Another topic I want to cover is a question that I ask during every new patient consultation. And that question is, what have you done so far to help with your pain? And you know, I'd say that almost every single one of my patients that have been to their primary care, their MD before they come and see me, they've been given some sort of pain medication, muscle relaxer, or anti-inflammatory. Occasionally, they get all three. So I wanted to spend a few minutes this morning discussing the role medications play in treating your back pain. And I also want to give you two suggestions that are free, don't require a prescription, or really have any bad side effects to help you with your back pain. And because I do these shows to be beneficial to our listeners, if you have a chiropractic question that you want answered, send Jenna a text message at 437-1620, and she'll make sure I get it, and I'll do my best to answer it this week if we have time. All right, but first let's get into that auto insurance discussion. The state of Florida release the results of this annual investigation into the amount of people that are driving in Florida without auto insurance. They found that 20.4% of Florida drivers do not have any auto insurance. That's one car out of every five you see on the roadway that are uninsured. Let that sink in next time you're at a red light and you look around at the car in front of you to and the two or three to next to you. One of those guys does not have car insurance. And if you're thinking, maybe that's because maybe those are the safest cars and the best drivers out there. you need to rethink your thinking, because those are the worst drivers. And the worst drivers have the highest insurance rates. And so guess what? You know, they just don't buy insurance, which leads to a pretty unfortunate situation where the drivers that are the most likely to cause an accident are the ones without any insurance coverage. And now you may be wondering, how does this affect you directly? Well, unfortunately, it could affect you a whole lot. Because when that person hits you in their car and injures you, the only way that they're going to pay for your medical bills is if you sue them. And if they actually have any money to pay you when you win that lawsuit. Except we already know they don't have any money because they can't even afford the most basic auto insurance. So guess what? You get stuck with that bill. Usually a very large bill. Hopefully many of you haven't had to go to the emergency room recently, but a typical emergency room visit after an accident, that's usually going to start right around that $5,000 mark. They'll typically do a brain scan, just make sure you're not having any internal bleeding, no hemorrhaging, and they'll take x-rays of any areas that you say are hurting or in pain, just to make sure nothing's broken. If you were taken to the emergency room that day by an ambulance, that bill's probably closer to $10,000. But I've even seen instances of $10,000 or more emergency room bills from patients, and these are patients that had no fractures, no brain injuries. They didn't even take the ambulance ride. They drove themselves to the emergency room the next day. That one-day visit was over $10,000. The point is, there's something you can do to help yourself avoid getting stuck with those huge bills. Ask your auto insurance agent about uninsured motorist coverage and medical payments coverage. Yes, they're going to cost a little bit more each month than just that basic minimum insurance. But I've got to tell you, it's really not that much more, and it can save you $10,000 or $20,000 or more when that uninsured idiot just crashes into your car. And like I said, I'm not in the insurance business. I don't sell insurance. I have no affiliation with them. But I've treated people who came to me for care after an accident. And these are people that needed care. They were hurt, but they were hit by an uninsured person. And so they were responsible for paying their own medical care in a situation where that should have been covered by the other party's auto insurance company. They normally would completely cover all those bills. But the uninsured motorist and medical payment coverage is probably just around $10 or $15 more each month. But the reason you buy that is so you don't get stuck with that $20,000 medical bill. And that happens. I mean, I've seen it. So again, just some advice from someone who sees the bad result of those 20% of drivers who are on the road and are uninsured. A little extra insurance coverage now can save you from getting stuck with those huge medical bills later. Because, you know, I'd be willing to bet that even if you do have that extra $20,000 laying around, you probably have some other plans and want to spend that on something other than doctor's appointments because somebody else hit you with their car. So just a little advice there. But now let's talk about a couple things that I can help you with. Let's say that you've had that accident. Somebody hits you, and fortunately, you don't have any broken bones. There's no serious concussions, no brain damage. You can begin by thanking your seatbelt and those airbags for saving your life. Make sure and wear those. But then you need to start thinking about the long-term injuries from whiplash. I see those. I treat them every day at my practice. Those things are real. That term whiplash, that's not just some joke word that lawyers made up. It happens and it needs to be treated because that nagging stiffness in your neck or your back after the accident, that's your spine telling you that you've had some ligament injury, and in the long run, that can be devastating. You've probably heard somebody say, you know, they've had a bad ankle sprain or maybe a bad knee sprain. You know, they probably said something more like, you know, that's my bad knee, or, oh yeah, that's just my bad ankle. But in your back, those supporting ligaments that help add stability to your spine, they get sprained in that whiplash injury, and the same thing can happen. Those joints are now unstable and will keep causing problems. In the short term, sure, maybe not devastating, but in the long term, those are the joints that degenerate. Those are the joints that are going to get those bone spurs. That's where we're going to see that bulging disc or disc herniation that eventually may end up needing surgery. Of course, it takes years for that to degenerate like that. So when we find it 10 years after your accident, well, guess what? It's way too late to get your auto insurance to pay for that. So the best thing to do, get it treated right away, right after your accident, so it doesn't go bad on you 10 years down the road. That's what your auto insurance is for. And I'm not kidding when I say I see this at least once a week. Just last week, I had a patient in consultation, and this is a retired gentleman who'd been having some some achy pain in his neck, and it really mainly bothered him while he was working in his wood shop, and he'd be looking down at whatever it was he was working on that day. And it had been there for years, but over the past few months had just been getting progressively worse. So during the consultation, I kept asking him, you know, was there any one event that happened, anything that you can relate this neck pain to? And he had no traumatic onset that he remembered and nothing that he could really point to as a cause of his neck pain. And as we were continued talking, he mentioned to me that when he rides his motorcycle, he has difficulty turning his neck to look to his sides and behind him, you know, just to make sure no cars are coming. He doesn't want to be hit by a car, and looking to his sides has become a problem now. So as I continued my detective work, right, I asked him how long he'd been riding motorcycles. And he told me he'd been on motorcycles off and on over the years for about 40 years now. So I asked if he had any history of auto accidents. Then he thought for a second. Then he began to tell me the story of one time he was on his motorcycle and was involved in an accident, and he got thrown off of his bike and flew a couple yards away. And, you know, thankfully, the only major injury he suffered was he had a fractured clavicle. So aside from wearing a sling on his arm until his collarbone healed, he didn't really get any treatment or anything to do for his sore neck and back. But that was over 20 years ago. And then he asked, he goes, you know, Dr. Ben, do you think that has anything to do with his symptoms right now? And I looked at him and I said, absolutely, this could have something to do with it. What do you got thrown off of a motorcycle? Yeah, you didn't get anything treated. Of course, this could have something to do with that. The point here is, if you've been involved in an auto accident, please go get your spine checked out. Do that now. Don't wait and let that downward spiral of degeneration begin. And I want to add one last thing before we wrap this part up. If you've been injured in an auto accident, there is a very strict window you have to see a doctor or chiropractor that will actually allow you to utilize your car insurance coverage. I'm talking about that crazy Florida 14-day rule. And you may have heard me talk about this before, I know, but if you haven't, listen up, because this is really, really important. You have exactly 14 days from the day of your accident to be seen by a doctor and assessed. Now, many of you are probably wondering, you know, just like I did when I heard of this, you know, when I first heard of this 14-day rule, you know, why 14 days? Who came up with that? And, you know, it must be that after 14 days, there's going to be no more pain, no more injuries that can occur from that accident. You know, that law was probably drafted by medical professionals, a team of doctors that had patients and people's best interest in mind, and they decided after 14 days, no problems. Well, if that's what you thought, you are very wrong. That law was developed by my good friends over at the insurance industry that, well, they push for laws that make it more difficult for you to get treatment. So if you wait for day 15 until you seek medical care, guess what? The insurance company is going to tell you, too bad, and I've seen it happen. I've had a patient come in on day 15, and we have to tell them, because the insurance companies lobbied for this to be turned into a law, their car insurance is no longer liable for any of their medical bills related to that accident. It's crazy. I know it is. 14 days. It seems very arbitrary, but that's the law that they got passed, and there's no way around that. So please, please don't be one of those patients that's waited one day too many. Go right now. Go as soon as you can to get an evaluation after your accident, so that 14-day rule doesn't just slam the door in your face. Now, at the beginning of the show, I also promised to talk about medications. And when you're having back pain, there are a lot of medications that could be prescribed. And guess what? All of them have side effects. All of those can also damage your body in one way or another. I'm sure everybody out there listening has heard some advertisements on TV for some sort of medication. And everybody probably remembers that at the end of that nice, relaxing, fun-looking commercial for whatever medicine they're trying to sell, at the end of that, there's that section where they talk about the side effects or the call your doctor if you experience any of the following symptoms. And the list of those side effects for some of the drugs is incredible. Something as simple as just a prescription NSAID, right? Lists possible side effects such as skin rash, sore throat, dizziness, weakness, swelling, rapid weight gain, trouble with vision and balance, right? And you just took that because your elbow was a little sore. Now you've got trouble with vision and balance. I mean, and those aren't even all the side effects. Those were just a very few on a long, long list of side effects. So I want you to try something when you get home today. I want you to take a look at a medication you may have gotten or received for your when you went to your primary care doctor for your back or neck pain. And when you get that bottle, I want you to Google the name of the medicine and go take a look at what the side effects are. I guarantee you there is going to be dozens of potential side effects or warnings, sometimes even pages of this stuff. Now, I'm not saying that all medications are a terrible thing. Of course they're not. There's countless situations where taking your medication as your doctor prescribed is the exact right thing to do for your condition. But if you're having pain in your back, there's a good chance that chiropractic care can help you a whole lot more than taking a pill will. More and more studies are showing that physical medicine and treatments are actually more effective than medications at helping patients with their back pain. That's why I receive referrals from patients' primary care physicians every week. You know, they know that the activator methods of chiropractic care that I use at the Neal Clinic will help their patients not only feel better, but it's going to fix the source of their problem and not just cover up their pain with more and more medications with all those side effects. So next time, if you do go to your medical doctor and you're having some sort of back or neck pain, ask them about chiropractic care. Do they recommend chiropractic care, physical therapy, the sort of stuff we do at the Neal Clinic, and see what they say. I bet most of them will say, absolutely, give it a try. And I mean, this is becoming more and more regular. The other day I came across a journal article in the Journal of Osteopathic Medicine. And it was pretty recent, from December of 2020. And three researchers performed this study where they randomly selected patients with low back pain. They separated all their patients into two groups. They had one group that only received spinal manipulation, so adjustments like chiropractic care. The second group, they received pain medication for 3 months, and then they started doing the spinal manipulations. And this whole group of patients, everybody was treated over the course of a year, and they used several different tools to objectively measure their results. But the interesting thing they found was that both groups showed significant decreases in overall pain. And I found it really interesting that, in fact, the group that only received the spinal adjustments statistically had slightly better results than the patients that were treated with both pain medications and spinal adjustments. Now, I know one thing when I read these articles and journal entries is that one thing to be aware of is, you know, when you're reading that stuff or really any kind of data that's being presented to you, always kind of be aware of that bias that may be present from either the authors of the research or who funded it, right? Now, the article I'm speaking about, it didn't come from some obscure chiropractic journal with the intention of just pushing the chiropractic agenda. No, this was published in the Osteopathic Journal. This is mainly authored by DOs who prescribe those very medicines that they are saying are less effective in treating back pain than spinal manipulation. So it's no wonder that over the last several years, as more of these types of studies are published, that more people are turning to chiropractic care to treat their lower back pain. That, in combination with, you know, everybody kind of now knows about the whole opioid epidemic and all the really terrible effects and consequences of long-term opioid use, I mean, again, it's really no surprise that chiropractic care is becoming more and more popular amongst people with back pain. So I promised at the beginning of the show two suggestions that you can try today to help with your back pain. And these don't require a prescription, and even better, they're free. Well, close to free. Exercise and ice. If you don't already have an ice pack, sure, I guess you got to go buy one of those, but they're pretty inexpensive. And if you want a really good one, just stop by the clinic and ask, and we'll make sure you get one. The second, exercise. Well, you know, walking's free, if you already own shoes, I guess. But if you want, you can buy a couple exercise bands or 10-pound dumbbells. And again, neither of those are really all that expensive. But using ice to help reduce inflammation, combined with getting your body moving, well, those are some of the first steps towards healing. And you're not going to have all those crazy side effects. I mean, I've yet to have anybody come in and tell me that they put an ice pack on and had trouble with their vision or balance. I mean, that's just not one of the side effects from using ice. And, you know, about getting moving, you may remember 20 or so years ago, after someone had an auto accident, you used to see people with those cervical neck collars, those pillows that they'd have to wear when they were going to work, and they walked around in those for a few weeks to keep their neck from moving. You don't see too many of those anymore today, unless you're in a hospital and somebody's recovering from a neck surgery. And that's definitely not because people stopped having car accidents. It's because the research showed that limiting movement in a joint without a fracture, even if it's after an accident and you're having pain, well, if you limit that motion, it causes worse degenerative changes and symptoms than if the patient began to move their neck even that same day. And of course, like anything, of course, you can overdo that, right? You can overdo the exercise. You can overdo the ice. So make sure if you're going to use that ice pack, only apply it to each area for 15 minutes each hour. So 15 minutes on, 45 minutes off. And similarly, if your back is in excruciating pain, by no means am I advocating for you to go run a 10K, right? That's not what I'm saying. But if you think just laying in bed all day is the best solution and you'll wake up the next morning and your back will be all better, that's not exactly right. Getting up every 30 or 45 minutes from the bed or the chair to walk around and move a little bit, that's going to do you a whole lot more good than just laying in bed all day. The last thing I wanted to touch on today was a question that a patient asked me during consultation earlier this week. And that question she asked was, and I kind of laugh about it, but it was pretty funny to me. She said, you know, somebody told me that once I start getting chiropractic care, that I have to have it for the rest of my life. And she said, you know, is this true? And I said, well, that's a good question. But I use an analogy for this that most people are familiar with. You know, if you or any of your kids or anybody you know had braces, and they went to the orthodontist and they glued those metal brackets to your teeth, and, you know, every week or so they went in and they had to put those wires all around, and they slowly over time use some force to get those teeth pulled into place. You know, that's kind of similar to chiropractic care, except we don't use metal brackets that are glued to your spine. We use a slow force over time through joints to get the joints aligned. You know, most people are really familiar with that braces analogy, and it makes sense, right? Like, that's how they move joints, and moving bones and aligning bones in your body takes a lot of time. Chiropractors use small repeated forces through joints in order to restore that alignment. But that's really only the first part of the story. That person with braces, even after they got their braces taken off, guess what? They had to wear a retainer afterwards. And that's because even after the teeth were straightened, the connective tissue that holds your teeth in place is still trying to pull those teeth back to the way they were originally. And that's really similar to the joints in your body, that once we get the spine aligned, we'll also have that connective tissue and muscles that are going to pull those joints back to the way they were. So no, you don't have to have chiropractic care for the rest of your life, but it's a pretty good idea. And Jenna's telling me we're running out of time this morning. I'm Dr. Ben McMillan. I work at the Neal Clinic. You can find us on Creighton Road, right across the street from Walmart. Our number is 437-SPINE.